This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, exclusively on the Bun 2.0, KBUN-FM 104.5.
Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is sponsored by DS Beverages and by Bottle Lock and Key. Today on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, we're still going to talk fishing because we got a big event coming up in Bemidji next Saturday, September 28th. It is the first ever Blue Line Walleye Tournament. Eric Jacobson from Destination Sporting Goods put this baby together. And Eric, once again, we talked about this a couple times, but what made you think you wanted to do this at this time of year?
Well, you know, we took over that the Spring Eagles tournament that was announced earlier this year, right at the awards banquet for that. And in the past, they always had a fall tournament that they threw. Besides the last few years, it kind of went to the wayside. And, you know, right away, people approached us about bringing back a fall tournament. And, you know, we kind of kicked the idea around for about a month or so. And we decided, yeah, heck with it. Let's go for it. You know, it's going to be a lot of work. But, yeah, we're getting it all together. It's happening, and we're super excited.
And you haven't just decided to have a fall tournament. You decided to have a really big fall tournament. You went both feet in and dove into the deep end and are putting together a big tournament with big prizes.
You know, and yeah, I'll be completely honest with anybody. I mean, we didn't really realize what this was going to turn into. It was kind of just a quick conversation that we had with a handful of guys in the store here, and we got the idea and we rolled with it, and it's turning into a lot more than we thought. And that's kind of like where our little slogan came from. Someone just mentioned it. This seems more than just another walleye tournament, and that seems to hold pretty true. It's kind of turning into a lot more than just that.
Well, it's certainly one of the biggest, prize dollars for first prize that we have in Minnesota. It's got to definitely be in the top one or two, three maybe.
It's definitely large. As soon as you get over that $10,000 mark, people's eyebrows kind of start to raise a little bit. It catches their attention.
I definitely talked to a lot of anglers who are very interested in it. I know there are several that have signed up. But in fact, you were telling me you're getting close to two-thirds full now.
Yeah, we're well over halfway. Based on how things go around here, that last 2 weeks before tournament day, that's really when guys start to come out of the woodwork and start to commit and actually get signed up. So we don't know if it's going to get filled year one. If it does, we are going to be more than ecstatic. You know, if it gets close, we're going to be happy either way. So it's about a lot of support on this thing so far. We're pleased with how everything's going.
And, in fact, it is indeed a $10,000 first prize, and yet the fee is pretty reasonable, but, you know, not much different than any other fishing tournament.
No, it falls right in there with all the rest of them. It's $400 per boat, so $200 per guy. And then at the rules meeting there, you have a voluntary $50 big fish pot that you and your partner can throw into. And, I mean, you get 60 boats in there, and everybody throws in that $50. You're looking at another whole separate $3,000 side pot that someone else could win, you know, at any place of that term. You catch one 31-inch fish and not a single one, you'll get the $3,000 if that's what it comes out to be. But that's kind of another cool little side pot too. There's a good amount of money on the table. You know, apart from that big fish pot, there's $24,000 at play there total. So,
all right. So if people are interested, what's the process for getting registered and getting into there? And what's the cutoff?
The easiest way we found to get this done is just to come right into Destination Sporting Goods, sit down with me or one of the guys in here, and we'll get you signed up on one of our computers. Or if you don't want to do that, you can jump onto www.destinationsportinggoods.com, and right on the home page, you'll see a register now for the Blue Line Walleye Tournament. And you go to that and just follow the instructions there and get signed up. It's a pretty quick and easy process.
And $10,000 first prize, as we noted, but also a cause. You have chosen a charity. Tell us about that.
We have decided to go with the FOP, the Headwaters FOP unit up here. Their reach goes all the way from the north side of Hubbard County up to Baudette, out to Clearwater, and all the way to Grand Rapids. They cover such a large area. They do so much in this community. They're always looking to do more, and that's what we like too. They're aggressive in what they do, and it was important to us that the money that we raised for this did stay local, and that's what they promised they would do, and that's who we decided to roll with. And yeah, it's going to be good for those guys. We're happy to work with them, and that's what it comes down to, is just helping raise awareness for everything, and these guys are on board with all of it.
We had a little conversation, you and I, earlier today, and you know, one of the things I find interesting about a big tournament like this at the end of the year is that, you know, fairly early in the tournament season, we've got the Knights of Columbus Walleye Classic, another really big one with really great anglers in it, to kind of start the fishing season, and then this one, end of September, kind of the last of the competitive fishing season tournaments. And, you know, we know that there's a very good possibility it's going to take a big basket of fish to win this thing.
I think it is going to also. It's a cool time of the year. There's a lot of different tactics these guys can use to catch these fish, and they really start to pack that weight on this time of the year. So, weather permitting, we're going to see some really big fish getting caught, I think.
What have you heard from the guys on the water lately?
It's been hit or miss the last week or so. Just the weather needs to kind of decide what it wants to do. You know, we had a little frost on the ground the other morning, and now we're back into t-shirt and shorts weather here for a couple of days. So if it just wants to, the weather wants to even out around that 50, 55 degree mark for a while, that'll help things out tremendously. But no, it's getting better. The jig bite's starting to come back. That's always a good sign. Those fish are starting to move up shallow and starting to eat good. So, yeah, everything's looking good for getting some good fishing, whether it's just for that tournament or just for the average weekend guy or whatever. The fishing is getting better and better.
And you're right. There are so many presentations you can throw out in the fall, and there are so many different places they could be biting. It will be really interesting to see exactly what it is that brings in the biggest fish.
It could be a simple jig and a minnow. It could be something like pulling around a big creek chub or a redtail, or maybe the guys that are going to be out there pulling around some crankbaits, they might find the most success too. It's just, you got to be versatile, but there's a lot of different ways to get it done.
Lake Bemidji, of course, you know, we've known in this area what an amazing fishery it is. All natural, no stocking, just keeps cranking out fish year after year. It's getting to be better known, I think, throughout the greater Paul Bunyan Country area, just how good a lake this is. It's just amazing to me that you can call a guide up any time of the year, and you just don't find dead times anymore. There are better times than others, but it's never completely dead. There's always some walleyes being caught on Lake Bemidji.
Yeah, and I think that kind of pays testament to just, you know, the equipment that we're using nowadays is obviously helping a lot, but people have just tried so many different things over the years, and they've found ways just to consistently catch fish all year long. You know, if you can't do the same thing that you're doing on fishing opener in May as you do in July.
Right.
It just doesn't work as well. So guys have found ways to adapt to what's going on, and it's showing, and more people are catching on and learning every single day, and that's great for everybody, 100%. If everybody's catching fish, we're all happy. That's kind of the name of the game. You know, we all have our secret spots we like to go to, but at the end of the day, if everybody can catch some fish and have a good day, that's what it's all about.
What are you hearing from other lakes in the area right now?
Local little smaller lakes around town, they're starting to do pretty good. I hear there's a nice little crappie bite starting to fire up for people. You know, they're starting to find them suspended out there in the little deeper water. The bass bite is actually starting to get good, too. It's just that time of the year right now, everything starts to get really good in September, early October. It's a super good time to fish if you can handle the inconsistent weather patterns. So bring the rain gear.
I know you you have a really great muskie selection. I know you have a lot of muskie anglers that are in your store. Is the fall bite there kicking in yet, or is it still a little too warm for that?
It's just starting to get there right about now. It's the last couple weeks it's really started to heat up. I know I've been hearing about some nice fish getting caught, but the amount of sightings and follows that guys are getting, it's definitely starting to ramp up, and that's only going to get better in October.
Well, and we're going to get back to fishing in just a second, but, you know, it is now hunting season as well. I know you got a lot of archery stuff and a lot of archers in there. What are you hearing from the guys out doing some early hunting?
You know, I didn't really have a chance to see what was all taken that first opening weekend on Saturday, but, you know, I would imagine statewide, I'm sure there was some pretty impressive deer that got shot over the weekend, but The weather was pretty dang nice, so I think it was a pretty good weekend for everybody. We were pretty dang busy in here. I know that. So that's a little side of our business. It started small, and it's grown a lot. I mean, we didn't really expect that to happen per se. It was a totally service driven side to our business, and it has definitely gotten busy, and we're more than happy to do everything we possibly can for all these guys. I mean, I'm personally the one that works on everything for these guys, and I love every second of it. If I could do that all day, I'm really happy. So I love bow hunting.
You know, when it comes to fishing, we always get new equipment. There's something new all the time, new lures, new electronics, this and that. Anything new and interesting as far as archery equipment and archery deer hunting going?
I'd say just technology-wise, it seemed over the last years is these bow companies kind of flop back and forth for who has the nicest, fastest, smoothest bow. They try to run with it. But nowadays, all these new bows are so nice. There's no denying it. You can't go wrong with anything that's pretty much new by any company. Everything is nice. They're all fast. They're all accurate. And just like I say to anybody, these bows nowadays are going to shoot a lot better than the person shooting them themselves. It's all in the user. But otherwise, I mean, there's some cool electronic stuff that's starting to hit the market out here. That you came out with that. It's that Garmin sight. Put it up. You press the button, and it tells you what the range is, and drops a little floating pin out there for you. Kind of does all the work for you. You just got to pull the trigger at that point. But for the pretty price tag of $1,000, if someone wants to jump on one of those, they can have at her. So,
yeah, but I probably won't, to be honest with you.
It's something to be said for. It still comes down to you got to be able to get close to those animals. That's kind of what's cool about it. You got to do your due diligence to shoot a nice deer. It is a lot of work with a bow.
I don't hunt nearly as much as I fish, and I don't fish nearly as much as I want to. But to me, deer hunting for archery deer hunting is a better deal, just because to me it's a prettier and better time to be out in the woods.
It is. Fall's gorgeous, and just archery hunting in general, it's almost a 4-month long season. I mean, it starts the second week of September and it goes all the way to the end of the year. So I mean, you have a lot of time. You can head out early while the trees are still green and go all the way through to right before rifle season. You could take that little time off, then you have all of December pretty much to yourself if you can bear the cold, which is me personally one of my favorite times to go out. I can handle the cold for a while. We'll see how bad this year is.
Yes.
Yeah, you have the woods to yourself at that point, and the deer at that point are just totally food driven. You find a place where they're going to feed, you're going to find deer. That's all they care about after the rut is food.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, so we got the tournament coming up on the 28th, of course, a week from Saturday. It's headquartered out at Rutgers Birchmont Lodge. What is the schedule for this event?
Yeah, so I was just kind of notified that today. We haven't really posted the actual schedule on any of our social media, so we're going to do that today. But kind of how it's all going to shake out, the launch will be at 7 a.m. on Saturday at Rutgers. If you want to come and see that, there's going to be plenty of space for people to watch these guys take off. And then the fun's going to start at 3 o'clock. The weigh-in starts at 3, and then the awards start at 5:30.
Okay. And the award, and you got top 10, you got trophies and stuff for the top 10 finishers.
Yep, trophies, plaques, and checks for the top 10 guys.
Okay, very cool.
And we obviously encourage anybody and everybody who wants to be a part and see this thing, come on down. You are more than welcome to come.
Now, what are the waters we can fish?
It's Lake Bemidji and Lake Irvin.
Okay, Bemidji and Irvin, taken off from the north end of the lake. And, and of course, Rutgers is all new and remodeled, and so that'll be a really cool place to have the tournament.
It is. They have done an amazing job up there. The place is gorgeous. It's amazing to me. They're working on it every time we go up there, and it's getting better and better by the day.
All right.
And working hard.
And again, come into Destination Sporting Goods or go to your website to get registered.
Absolutely.
All right, Eric Jacobson from Destination Sporting Goods getting ready for the first ever Destination Sporting Goods Blue Line Walleye Classic a week from Saturday, September 28th at Rutgers. Eric, we will see you out there, and thanks for taking the time today.
That sounds great. Thank you, Kev.
Up next, the Bemidji Area Fisheries Office has some public meetings coming up. They've got some proposed rule changes. We'll preview those with Andy Thompson, the Assistant Area Manager.
More of The Great Outdoors with Kev Jackson next on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
Welcome back to Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, sponsored by DS Beverages and Bonded Lock and Key. Don't forget to check us out on the web, kbunsportsradio.com. Click on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors for all the archives. And we're also on social media. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about northern pike regulations right now. We've got Andy Thompson. He's the Assistant Area Manager out of the Bemidji office joining us today. Andy, hey, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Oh, sure. You're welcome. We're glad to be here.
We've got a few things coming up next week as far as meetings go. There are some changes or proposed changes coming to, not only Northerns, but Muskellunge. And we'll start there because if I'm reading this right, the first meeting is on Tuesday, September 24th at Itasca State Parks Visitor Center, correct?
Correct. And that meeting is for some regulations, special regulations that we've had on Elk Lake for some time.
So let's start with the special northern pike reg that's on Elk Lake. What is it currently, and what are we looking to do?
The regulation is currently a 40-inch minimum length requirement, and we put that regulation on some time ago when we were doing a number of different northern pike special regulations, and it was designed to really kind of boost the northern pike size structure in that lake and to kind of create more of a trophy aspect to that fishery to go along with the Muskellunge fishery that had already existed there. And so we've been monitoring that for some time now, and it just hasn't really panned out. The population size structure hasn't, I think it's shifted a little bit of an improvement, but really not what we were hoping to achieve there.
Okay, so what is the proposal?
So the proposal is to drop that 40-inch minimum size requirement and then let the regulation revert to the relatively new statewide regulation, which is set up on a zone structure. So it would revert to the zone regulation for the north-central zone, which is what's in place for most of our lakes around here that don't have special regulations.
Okay. I know it's like, not even really two seasons into that new regulation now. What are you seeing out there? Are people doing what you were hoping they would do with the expanded northern catch rates?
Well, as far as we know, people are becoming more and more aware of it. I think initially there was some people that were still not quite aware of that. We haven't had any recent creel surveys to evaluate that, and I think our enforcement staff would be more, they're the ones probably actually seeing what anglers are keeping. But as far as we know, people are more aware of it and following the regulation.
And then also on Elk Lake, you are changing the muskie, the current muskie regulation you have, and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's another special regulation that was put in place quite a long time ago, mainly because of the status that lake has as a brood source for us to, maintain an adult musky, pure strain musky population for our production and fish culture program, and so it is an important egg source for us in the state. But really, with the change to the statewide regulation, musky fishing regulation that's occurred gradually over time, with it, now it's a 54-inch minimum size regulation, there's really no need for that catch and release rule, and there really aren't very many fish in that lake that would even exceed that 54-inch size size anyway, because it is a little bit higher density population that we try to maintain for our egg program. So the fish just tend to not grow quite as big because we're trying to maintain a higher population density.
Sure. What kind of pressure does that lake get?
Well, it gets pretty decent pressure in the summertime for by musky anglers primarily. In the winter, it used to get more pressure in the winter, and our most recent creel survey down there would indicate that some of that has dropped off, and we think maybe the northern pike minimum size regulation might have something to do with that. And in the past, a lot of the pressure that it got in the winter where it was targeted at northern pike. So hopefully the changing to the new zone regulation would, create some more interest in going in there for northern pike by winter anglers.
And again, the meeting is set at 6:30, Tuesday the 24th, Itasca State Parks Visitor Center. Have you heard from anybody in advance on that?
We have not heard anything yet. I think the news release probably just went out late last week, and haven't had any comments coming in yet.
Okay. Now, if people can't make that meeting, there are other ways to get their opinion heard, correct?
Correct. They can comment directly to us, give us a call during business hours, or you can find our email address, Minnesota MNFisheries at Bemidji. It's actually on the DNR website. If you navigate to the Bemidji Fisheries office, we have an email address there as well.
All right, sounds good. That's the first one. You also are going to be discussing removing a special northern pike regulation on Big Lake. When and where is that meeting?
That meeting will be the following evening in Ten Lakes Township at the Town Hall, which is quite close to Big Lake.
Okay.
And,
What are we thinking about there?
Well, that Big Lake has one of the more common special northern pike regulations that exists around the state, and that has been in place for also quite some time, probably more than 10 years now. But it is a 24 to 36 protected size range that was designed also to shift the size structure to a higher quality population size structure.
Okay. And you're looking to go to the statewide on that one as well?
Again, yes. That one just has not panned out as it has. And that regulation has actually been successful on other lakes in the state, but not quite. It just hasn't gotten there on Big Lake. We haven't seen a lot of changes there. One of the goals of that regulation is to reduce overall pike densities as well, and it kind of appears that may have happened, but we're just not seeing the shift to a quality size structure, and we think that the new zone regulation, the statewide zone regulation, might be a better fit for that lake, and want to give that one a try.
Okay. I've talked to a lot of guys in fisheries about this over the years. In your business, number one, you have to be patient because you're not going to see immediate payoffs no matter what you do. And secondly, you're also going to be able to shake things off and be willing to try a new approach.
Right, exactly. It's nice to try things, and like you say, you got to be patient and give it a little time to work. But I think it's good to be willing to at some point say, okay, it's not working. Let's try something else.
Yeah. All right, and then the day after that, Thursday the 26th, I believe that's up in Kellyer. We want to talk about Northern Pike regulations on Upper Red Lake. And again, remind us what the current reg is on that and what we're going to try to do here.
Okay, the current regulation up there that we've had for a while is a 24 to 44 inch protected size range, which was put in place mainly as a way to protect the existing trophy size structure that exists in that population, while allowing a little bit of harvest of, you know, some smaller sized fish, by anglers if they're out fishing in the winter and they catch a smaller pike under 24 inches, under 26 inches, they can still be able to keep one. But since that population has an existing trophy size structure with fish, we've documented northern pike over 44 inches in that system, and it was designed to protect that. But the proposal is to change that regulation to a 30 to 40 inch protected size range, which would match the regulation on Lake of the Woods and also the Northeast management zone. And the reason for that change is just that we just aren't seeing really all that much targeted fishing pressure on those large northern pike, and when we do see it, it's pretty short-lived, and those fish seem to be pretty difficult to catch, so we're just not really seeing a real need to be that restrictive.
Okay.
The harvest on those bigger pike is going to be very low anyway.
All right. And I know you've got your committee meeting what is that committee called again?
That's our Red Lake Citizens Advisory Committee.
Right.
It's a, you know, a group we've put together of that represent a variety of the, you know, the angling public and the fishing industry public to help us with our management options and, you know, give us some input as we go along on Red Lake, since we're, you know, constantly looking at regulations and making changes all the time up there.
And I tell you, whatever you guys have been doing, it has worked. The numbers in that lake are astronomical, and the fish catch rates continue to be great. The reports continue to be very solid.
Yeah, it really does attract a lot of anglers up there, and we're kind of in between at this time of year. But as soon as we get some decent ice up there, it'll be a whole other season starting.
All right. Anything else going on in your office this fall that we would find interesting?
Well, we're doing we have a lot of our traditional fall work, our large lake sampling. Walleye pond harvest for our fingerling stocking program. Our muskie our rearing program will be harvesting some muskie fingerlings. It's similar to our spring season, but on the other end of things.
Okay.
So it's a busy time for us.
All right, and again, the meeting for Elk Lake is at Itasca State Park on 6:30, Tuesday the 24th, next night at Ten Lake Township in Cass Lake area. The Northern Pike Regulation meeting for Big Lake, that's also at 6:30, and then at 6:30 in Kellyer, the North Beltrami Community Center on Thursday the 26th, the Northern Pike Regulation Change meeting. And again, Andy, if people cannot make the meeting and really feel they have something they need to say, you can go to the website and make your comments that way, correct?
Yep, or give us a call directly. We'll be happy to talk to you about it and record your comments you know, formally for our process, or, you know, send us an email.
All right, sounds good. Andy Thompson is the Assistant Area Manager out of the Bemidji office. And Andy, thanks for taking time to talk with us and getting us updated on those meetings. We appreciate it.
No, my pleasure.
This has been Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. Hear it exclusively on KBUN-FM 104.5, Thursdays at 1240 and Saturday mornings at 8.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.